Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right, thank you for joining us. Our show today, New Year's Resolutions, how to reach your goals. Why do most people fail to achieve their stated New Year's resolutions? Because resolutions are just a fancy term for dreams, and dreams without action remain just that, unrealized dreams. Today on the Natural Health 365 podcast, you'll learn what it takes to achieve just about anything you want in life. Want to lose weight? Great, you can do it. Looking for that number one spot on your high school tennis team? Great, you can do that as well. This is no exaggeration, and the stories you're about to hear will prove it to you, no matter who you are. Our guest, James Ketchell, is a serial adventurer, motivational speaker, and scouting ambassador. On February 1st, 2014, James became the first and only person to have rowed across the Atlantic Ocean, successfully summited Mount Everest, and cycled 18,000 miles around the world. In other words, James knows a thing or two about reaching goals and achieving massive success. For just a moment, this is a shout out for all the kids I help with their goals. No matter what your situation, you must know that you can achieve anything if you simply put your mind to it. Stay focused and never let up. And although you may not believe me, that may be the problem, a lack of belief or commitment, not having enough money, talent, or the right genes, as they say, are just excuses. So if you're looking to lose weight, improve your athletic performance, or any other area of your life, this show is going to be perfect for you. Be prepared to become inspired and, of course, take action. Before we meet our special guest, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. And now, please join me in welcoming James Ketchell to our show. James, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you ever so much for having me. It's a real pleasure. I'm really looking forward to chatting to you guys.
It's great to be with you, James. How did you become such an adventurer? People obviously would be very curious about that. I mean, you know, didn't going to the gym, things like this, really have a big impact on your life?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, you never really know what's around the corner. And initially, I never actually set out to become a professional adventurer. But in my early days when I was a teenager, I discovered the gym. I discovered exercise. I discovered eating correctly. When I was a young boy, I was very, very lazy. I would sit around, not really do that much. And in fact, it was quite funny because I used to be this really spotty, geeky little boy with these huge glasses. And I couldn't speak to girls to save my life. I had zero confidence. And one day, a friend introduced me to the gym, and I all of a sudden started to find out what it was like to start getting stronger and start lifting heavier weights. And I thought, wow, I haven't really done anything special. I've just come to the gym a few days a week. I did the same thing, and I'm growing. And that weight that I used to lift, is which was difficult, is now easy. And so really, I suppose when I was 16, 17, 18, I started to learn what it was like to set goals and get, and most importantly, have sort of routine and structure and some discipline. And that discipline was going to the gym, and the routine was, you know, following the weights program that I was working on. And I started to, I changed, and you grow up, and the spots clear up when you get a bit older, and you know, you start wearing contact lenses, and things just change. You become a little more confident. And one of my hobbies, I've always been into motorbikes ever since I was young. I've ridden a few on a field where I was too young to ride on the road and things. And then I got into racing, and I was in my mid-20s, and I had quite a nasty accident, broke my legs and shattered and dislocated my ankle. And to cut a long story short, I ended up in hospital for quite a few months, and I was in a wheelchair for the best part of half a year. And ever since I was a young boy, I've had this dream to try and row a boat across the Atlantic Ocean. But for whatever reason, I just never had the guts to do it. There were a few times that I looked into doing it, but I don't know why, I just didn't pursue it. And I remember lying there in hospital and the doctor saying to me, "Mr. Ketchell, you need to come to the terms with the fact you've had a serious accident and you may not be able to walk correctly again." And that really hit me hard. And I thought to myself, you know what? There's two things I can do here. I can sit here and feel sorry for myself and just cry my eyes out. Or I can say, you know what? That's not the case. And I'm going to set my mind on trying to row across the Atlantic. And it all goes back to that routine and that structure. It gave me that discipline. It gave me that reason to go through all the physio. It took a year to walk again and, you know, effectively get better. I mean, I was lucky. I managed to make a recovery. Some people don't even have arms and legs. So I was relatively lucky. And I set my mind on rowing the Atlantic. It gave me a reason as to why I was going to do everything. And it, most importantly, it gave me something to focus on. And I did manage to row across the Atlantic. The hardest part was getting to the start line, raising all the funds and sponsorship. And that was very difficult in its own right. But I managed to make it happen. So in 2010, I rowed across the Atlantic Ocean, 3,000 miles from La Gomera to Antigua. And in fact, it's the same route that Christopher Columbus used back in the 15th century. Now, he had 80 crew on board his vessel when he crossed, and this is the type of thing that you would do with someone else. Most people row as a pair or as a four-man or sometimes an eight or a ten-man. Now, I have no idea why, but no one would join me, so I decided to do it on my own. It was probably the best decision I've ever made. It was a tough trip. I ran out of food 230 miles from Antigua, and I found out what it's like to be truly starving. And it's great character building, but it's really not nice at the time. And I now never use the word starving, because when you really find out what it's like, you don't want to be starving again. But I did one thing. I just kept going. I had this kind of mindset that I'm in a massive ocean here, and as long as I don't row in circles, if I do one thing and that one thing is just to keep going, by default, I'm going to run out of ocean and I will get to land. That land may not be where I want to be, but I'll cross the Atlantic and get to land. And it was a tough year. It took 110 days, 4 hours and 4 minutes, but I managed to make it to Antigua. And it's funny because when you push yourself outside of your comfort zone, doors of opportunity just naturally open. And it was during my preparation that I met someone who was also rowing the Atlantic, but at a different time and in a different boat. And he happened to be a very accomplished high-altitude climber. And we became friends. And he said to me, "James, after the row, do you fancy going out to Everest to climb with me?" And I thought, well, gee, I'd love to, but I've not climbed to that level before. And then let's just take one thing at a time. And anyway, you know, the Atlantic passed and I got back and the phone rang and it was my friend Rob. And he said, "James, I need to know now, are you coming to Everest?" And my instant reaction was, yeah. So I said, "Yes, I'm in." And he said, "Great, you've got 6 months to find £30,000. And I thought, gosh, how on earth am I going to make this happen? It's like getting to the start line really is difficult. But I thought, well, if I take that concept that got me across the Atlantic, that just keep going, if I apply that to trying to raise funds, so I send lots of sponsorship emails out, I make lots of calls, I had a great charity that I was going to do it for, I thought someone will sponsor me if I just keep asking and just keep doing that one thing. And I got very lucky. I did manage to get sponsored. And I got out to Everest in 2011, and I stood on the summit of Everest on the 16th of May, 2011, at 8:30 in the morning. And it was probably the hardest thing I've ever, ever done in my life. And actually, when you get to the top, you soon realize that you haven't done it at all. You're only halfway. You still got to get back down again. And it was coming back down that I didn't actually realize that I had a very severe lung infection, but it was the adrenaline and it was the excitement that was driving me to the top. And when I realized that I was only halfway and I still had to get down, that adrenaline, that excitement just left. And this lung infection just completely took hold of me and I just lost the ability to breathe. Now, thank God I had probably one of the best Sherpas on the planet with me and he managed to get me back down. And it took 4 days to get back to base camp, and I was quite ill. Managed to get back home to the UK, but ended up having to go to the hospital the day I got back, actually. And the doctor said to me, listen, you've got a serious lung infection. We need to get you into hospital right now. The day I got back from Everest was the day that I then spent, I think, almost 2 weeks in hospital. And it was almost like a feeling of deja vu, having been there before with the bike accident. And I remember lying in hospital and I thought to myself, wouldn't it be a great idea to cycle around the world? And so I got myself better. It didn't take too long, thankfully. And I went through that whole process again of trying to get to the start line, raising the money. And on the 30th of June 2013, I set off from London, from Greenwich Park, where time starts, and cycled 18,000 miles around the world. Now, the goal was to obviously get around the world, but I do a lot of work with young people, and I wanted to speak in a school in every single country just to try and inspire younger people to pursue their own goals and their own dreams, whatever they may be. You don't need to be an adventurer. You can do whatever you want as long as you do something that you love. And I actually managed to achieve that, and I spoke to over 10,000 young people as I went around the world. And I got back on February the 1st, 2014, and when I crossed the finish line, I became the first and only person that's on the planet that's rode an ocean, summited Everest, and cycled the world. And it's funny, I mean, to be honest, it's only a combination of three things, but it was quite special to me at the time. And I look back, actually, at that, and when that doctor said to me when I was lying in hospital, listen, you're probably not going to be able to do some of the things that you'd like to do. You need to come to terms with that. And, you know, when someone says to you, you can't do that, that's generally not the case. If you want something enough, and you do that one thing, and that one thing is just to keep going, you'll be amazed at what you can make happen. So it all kind of, one thing just led on from another. I didn't set out to climb Everest, cycle the world after I rode the Atlantic, but it just happened. And I fell into a different life, and I love speaking about these expeditions and things and sharing my photos and video footage with people. I just get a huge amount of enjoyment out of doing that. And when you find out what you love, take that and run with it. And really, that's all I'm doing. Is I've been lucky enough to find something that I love, and I'm figuring out how I can effectively do more of that, and how I can hopefully inspire some other people to pursue their own goals and dreams. So how I became an adventurer is, it almost happened by accident, and it's just quite funny how it happened, really.
James, the reason why I have you on this show is for all of the things that you've already spoken about. And I say this without any judgment at all to anybody listening to this program, with so much respect inside. I say that too many people, James, I'll have you comment on it, because I would love for you to share for a couple minutes what you feel are some of the most important things you've learned from all of these adventures that you've had. But my comment is that too many people have, and again, I say this and it's really sad to me, have fallen out of love with life. And when a doctor says you have cancer, God forbid, or heart disease, or you have diabetes, and you know, you really need to cut back on your life and take it easy and take these drugs, and you know, there's nothing else you can really do about it, and we don't have a cure for something, and on and on and on. It's so easy for people to listen to others around them and just believe that that's all there is in life. You're too slow, you're too heavy, you're too skinny, you'll never amount to much of an athlete, and all these labels that people get placed on them by other people. And I never hear that that's something that comes from you at all, James. You were presented with enormous challenges, and then you still looked forward. But I'm going to stop right here and just ask you, James, what are some of the big things you've learned from all of your experiences with these adventures?
I think really for me, the biggest thing that I've learned is that nothing is impossible. And if you do that one thing and you just keep going, you'll always get what you want or where you want to be. Now, another thing that I learned, especially when I was going around the world on the bike, if you treat people in a way that you would like to be treated, you'll be amazed at the good things that come your way. Human beings, 99.99% of human beings on this planet are amazing people. And the support that I received as I was cycling around the world, meeting these different people, was incredible. I'll be playing these favors forward for the rest of my life. And, you know, a lot of people say to me, well, how do I get started? How do I get, if I want, you don't necessarily need to go away on an adventure, but if I'm thinking about doing something, how do I do it? And what's the hardest part? And actually, in all honesty, pursuing your own dreams and goals, whatever they may be, really is not as difficult as you think. The hardest part is taking that first step. Human beings are afraid of uncertainty, and that's just natural. Most people are programmed like that. But if you start to think in a way of, well, okay, I need to achieve this, and these are the things that are in my way, but this is what I can do to get around them or go over them or go through them. And if you break things down and just work small little goals at a time, those small things will become big things, and it's not actually that difficult. When I look back on the Atlantic and Everest and things like that, I truly do not believe I did anything special. I just kept going. I found a sort of formula that worked for me. I figured out what I needed to do, and I just went and did it. And it's funny, you know, because some people say, well, gosh, you must have loads of money to do all this. But hey, the reality is, I was broke. I was living at home with my parents. You know, they can move back in and just trying to save as much money as I could, and I had not really hardly anything. But I got out there and I managed to make the sponsorship happen. And I guess, you know, proactivity creates luck to a certain extent. I found the more that I was doing, the more that was happening for me. It really is a simple equation. Sometimes people say to me, they say, James, I'm really struggling with this sponsorship for this project. And I say, well, okay, how many people have you spoken to? And they say, I've only spoken to 10. And I say, well, what do you expect? Come back when you've spoken to 10,000. And if you still haven't got the sponsorship, I'll help you because you're doing something wrong. And 9 times out of 10, they come back and they say, James, I started sending these emails out and I've spoken to hundreds of people and it's now I'm starting to get somewhere. And it's really about proactivity. The more you do, the more you get out. It's simple as that. And I truly, truly believe that having the right attitude is everything. And boy, sometimes stuff doesn't work out. I was rescued in the Indian Ocean only 5 months ago. I lost a boat, and it was a really tough project. And luckily, I managed to get my partner off the boat who'd sustained a really nasty head injury. And I was pretty down about that. So sometimes things don't always go your way, but that doesn't matter. As long as you keep the right attitude, have the right kind of mindset, stay positive, and you just try again. So I've now got to go out in probably 2017 and try and row across the Indian Ocean again. And I'll get there. That's what you have to do. You know, people naturally look at the barriers and why they can't do something. But actually, if you kind of program your brain to think about how I can do something, you'll be amazed that actually it's really not that difficult.
I want to thank our sponsors, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. So, James, amazing information already. Talk to us a little bit about your next big adventure. Is it the Indian Ocean? And talk about some of the things that you feel are obstacles, but I'm sure you would agree, there are things that you're going to overcome for sure. Talk to us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, rather amazingly, my next project is really quite interesting. I've got two projects on the go. I'm taking someone across the Atlantic Ocean this January in a pedalo. It's a bespoke boat that's been made. It's basically just like an ocean rowing boat, but instead of rowing, it's been adapted and we're pedaling, and I cannot wait to get out there. So I think that's going to be really quite exciting. People can follow us at pedaltheocean.co.uk. But my own personal project is this summer, where I'm attempting to row solo and unsupported around Great Britain. Now, it's almost 2,000 miles to start underneath Tower Bridge, come out, go all the way around Great Britain and back in. So that is two-thirds of the Atlantic. So people don't think of it like that. And it's a tough row because you're constantly battling the tides and the currents and the winds. And when you're in an ocean, you can just let the boat drift. If you don't want to row, it's no problem. You're not really going to hit anything out there. But you can't do that going around the coast of the UK. So in order to sleep and rest, I'm going to have to drop an anchor. At no point can I touch land until I get back. So this is a big deal for me, and I've got some scouts that are coming out on the water and following me at various points, and we're using the project to try and inspire people to kind of pursue their own dreams and their own goals, you know, whatever they may be. So that's what I'm working on, and people can follow the project at my website, which is www.jamesketchell.net. I'm also working on my book as well, which comes out on April the 7th. It's The Ultimate Triathlon. So that's the name of the book. So really excited to share that with everyone. And I had a goal a few years ago, and that was I just want to write a book to share my experiences and really say that I've written a book. And I managed to do it. It took a year to write, and it was 105,000 words. So really looking forward to sharing that with everyone, really. So there's loads of stuff going on next year. But one of the things that I say to people, life in general is full of opportunity. Just walking down the street, you bump into people, you meet people, or going, you know, I have friends that move to a new city and they say, oh, I never really met anyone. And I say, well, what did you do? And they say, oh, well, not much. And I say, well, get out, go to the gym. You get yourself out of your comfort zone. Walk up to someone in the gym and say, hey, how's it going? My name's so-and-so. Do you need a spot? Well, you know, and just when you put yourself outside of your comfort zone, you'll be amazed at the things that sort of come your way. And every day is another opportunity to do something, to meet someone or reach that goal, lift that weight or shed those few pounds, whatever it may be you're trying to achieve. And I'll tell you one thing that I've realized. It was 6 years ago since I rode across the Atlantic, and that time has absolutely flown by. And no matter how much money you have, the one thing that you cannot buy, and no one on this planet can buy, is time. You cannot buy that time back. And I say to people, just do as much as you can all the time, because you never know what's around the corner. Sometimes it's going to be something amazing, and sometimes it's going to be something that's really not so amazing, and it's probably going to test you. But the one thing I will say is every human being has the ability to shape and create their own destiny and effectively be whoever they want to be. It really is as simple as that. It's just a case of whether you want it enough.
James, your mindset is great, right? But a lot of people out there, just for a moment or two, if we can just take a minute, talk to people who say, well, that all sounds fine, but you sound, James, like you're fearless. You know, Jonathan, you're not concerned about public speaking. It's so easy for you. You must never be afraid. What do you say to those people about facing fear? How do you handle it?
Yeah, facing fear is a really good one, actually. And to be honest, I am afraid of certain things. And you just have to break things down and think, well, okay, what is the absolute worst that can happen? If for sake of example, you're a little bit worried and you're a little bit intimidated about public speaking, about getting on stage, well, firstly, my advice is you never, ever look at the audience as a whole. You just initially just look at the first few people in the front row and just almost think that you're having a conversation with them. Always know, never try and script an entire talk. I wouldn't anyway. I would always know what I wanted to say for the first few sentences. And I just look at the first people in the first couple of rows and just casually, it looks like I'm chatting with them. And gradually you forget the audience is there and you just start speaking to them. Now, I mean, that's an example of public speaking, but in terms of anything else that you're trying to pursue, if you break it down and think, well, what is the worst that can happen? And what things am I putting in place to enable me to do this? And 9 times out of 10, and not, I'll tell you something, things are never as bad as you really think when you actually go and do them.
You know, people want to overcome certain kinds of illnesses and they'll say, oh my God, you don't know how much I have to overcome. But James, you had daunting tasks. I remember you describing what it's like to just leave land with waves crashing in on you. How on earth are you going to get out there in the ocean with this little rowboat and your own two arms? And, you know, like you say, in your mind, it's like impossible, and yet you made it 3,000 miles across the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mindset. The stuff that I, everything in life, for sure, getting up and walking down the street and exercising, that's physical, I understand that. But everything I say to people, it's all mental. You know, people say, oh, I wish I had a great body, I wish I could row across the Atlantic. And I say, listen, you can. The only thing that is stopping you is your mind. So you're sitting in a chair instead of getting up, and you've got arms, you've got legs, your heart and lungs work correctly. So it's there for you if you want to do it. Also as well, you know, I think sometimes people need to know the truth that actually, if you just sit there and feel sorry for yourself, it's just a sort of a downward spiral, really. If you get up and you get moving and you do something every day, get up early, you're going to have, you know, a good day, really. And I think it's very, very easy to just sit and feel sorry for yourself. It really is. But the one thing I've learned, actually, the only person that you're really hurting, if you want to sit there and do nothing and feel sorry for yourself, is yourself. For sure, your family and friends will be concerned about you. But the reality is, if you're sitting there achieving nothing, no one really cares. So why don't you get up and start doing what you want to do? Because before you know it, your time is gone. It's, you know, that's like, well, that year is gone, that year's passed, and it's too late to do that. And well, that you know, that said, there is, it's never too late to try anything. You know, I know a guy who rowed across the Atlantic when he was 62, which is incredible. So if he can do that, you know, there really is no sort of age limit or no sort of barrier. I know people that have rowed across the Atlantic and they've got no legs. So when you really set your mind to something, you'll be amazed at what you can achieve. You've got to want it, and you've got to be prepared to push yourself outside of your comfort zone. If you can do that, and it takes a bit of getting used to. Initially, it's quite difficult, but after a while, it becomes easier. And you start getting used to being outside of your comfort zone. Then you say, hey, you know what? That wasn't as bad as I thought. Well, if I can do that, then surely I can do this. I always say to people, it's everything in life is all in the mind, nothing more.
I want to thank our sponsor one last time, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. James, as we finish up this program, I just want to leave it for a couple minutes with you talking a little bit more. You've already talked about not feeling sorry for yourself. I think a lot of people out there would say, I don't feel sorry for myself. What is he talking about? I just have this going on or that going on. And, you know, we don't understand what someone else is going through, why they can't achieve what they can achieve. So what are some of these other things we can say to those people? I mean, in my opinion, I feel like feeling angry and feeling depressed or blaming somebody else for the circumstances that you're in, I think those things are massive killers of our ability to actually get what we want. You want to speak to that for a minute or two?
Yeah, absolutely. You're so right. People do think, oh, gee, I can't do that because of this or because, you know, I don't have the money to do that or just not in the situation. But actually, the reality is it's very easy to feel sorry for yourself, and everyone, you know, that's listening to this, we're all human beings, and I'm sure at some point I probably sit and feel sorry for myself, but the reality is you can't sit there and feel sorry for yourself. You've got no choice. You have to just crack on, really. And you need to work at being happy and pursuing your goals. They're not just going to come to you. Every single day, you've got to be thinking, well, okay, what have I really done today to achieve what I want to achieve? And if you can say, hey, I've done all that I can do to reach those goals, then that's all you really need to worry about, and everything will just fall into place, I think.
James, great information. If people wanted to learn more about you, I know you mentioned it once before, to follow your adventures, maybe get some inspiration, if you will. What is your website? One more time, please.
People can follow me at www.jamesketchell.net, and they can follow me on Twitter, which is at Captain Ketch. Most of the photos and videos and things that I post all go up on online on my website and on Twitter. And you know, I encourage anyone who's thinking about doing something but they're not really sure where to start, or they just want a bit of advice, go to the website. You'll be able to send me an email through that, and I've always got time to help other people. So yeah, thanks ever so much for having me.
James, thanks again so much for your time. Really do appreciate it.
No worries.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.